this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk about a boogie woogie, and I'm going to play one.
I'm Steve Vinson.
I'm Paul Schultz.
And this is the Don't Panic Radio Show. Sit back, relax, and ignore the news. Nothing you're about to hear is true.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
Welcome to the show. We have a very special treat this week. We've been threatening to do this, and we're finally going to make good on our threat.
That's right. Not just a promise. It's a threat.
Is that a threat? You're damn right it is. I feel like that line was uttered a lot in movies back in the day.
That's like, I don't know what it is about movies where they do a cutaway where a doctor is going to give a hysterical woman like a shot. They always got to tell you this will calm her down.
Okay, speaking of throwback, this is the first throwback episode of 2019 of the Don't Panic Radio Show. And so we went all the way back into the archives. Way back in 2015, and which, you know, depending on when you're listening to this, is either 4 years ago, or it could be 44 years ago. Who knows how long ago it was.
As we sit here right now.
As we sit here right now, it was 4 years ago.
Yes.
And we talk about death. somehow, and as we were listening to, as you know, as I was checking this one out, like as to get ready for tonight, I was thinking, man, I contemplated my own mortality a lot more back then than even now.
Yeah. Now we avoid, you don't want to think about it now.
I don't remember exactly what was going on back then that caused me, and I don't think it really comes out. Maybe it was just my kids. That's probably it, because we do talk a lot about the kids in this episode. Mm-hmm. It's probably just the fact that they were starting to get to a certain age,
yeah,
and started to make me go, oh,
yeah,
it's really coming on. It's coming on fast.
Yes.
Speaking of kids, before we get into the thing, I meant to tell you about this.
Mm.
Because we do talk during this one about, you know, coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
And so this is the tie-in. So my youngest had a volleyball game today at the local Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
And I, well, so my my wife tells me just before we leave, they said, hey, they still need somebody to volunteer to be a line judge, which I've done before. When she was playing at her school. So I was like, sign me up. I'm in. I'll be the line judge. Because somehow, why is not important, but I'll say it anyway. I prefer to be out there doing something to sitting up in the bleachers just watching.
Yeah.
When I have to be around a crowd of people, I much prefer to have a role in whatever's going on than to just be supposed to be just sitting there trying to figure out what to do with my hands, right?
Somehow I'm just imagining Will Ferrell and kicking and screaming when he was coaching the soccer team.
So one of the things you do when you're a line judge, when the referee shows up, you meet the referee in the middle. You have a few, because they hire a referee to come in.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like when we were kids in Little League, they would just have the parents be the umpire behind home plate.
Right.
They actually hire some dude to come in and do it.
Right.
What I'm used to seeing is, like, I don't know, somebody in their 30s, maybe. Once in a while, somebody in their 20s. But usually athletic. Looks like maybe they just came from a volleyball game. Wearing an athletic kind of shirt. You know, like, okay, this person clearly professional referee, right?
Right.
So some dude walks in the gym wearing a Green Bay Packers hat, has a big beer gut, and he's like, I don't know, 5'8", 5'7", maybe. Big beer gut, Green Bay Packers hat with unkempt, like, gray hair sticking out and a stupid, like, big walrus mustache. And he walks up. I was like, I wonder who this dude is. What's he doing here? Well, he was the referee. So We walk up to do the to have the little conference of line judges and referee, and I smell weed. Oh my God, it was so strong on the dude. I'm like, all right, here's this middle-aged Green Bay Packers fan with a beer gut who just shows up to the Catholic Youth Organization volleyball match smelling like weed. I'm like, talk about, you know, avoiding your own mortality and coping mechanisms.
Right.
But he did a fine job.
That's good.
I think he called it fairly. He certainly called it the way he saw it, and he'll be missed. That having been said, how is it? I mean, do you feel the same way? Like, do you contemplate your own mortality more now or less now than you did 4 years ago?
A lot less, because I'm too goddamn busy.
That could be it. Well, what are the famous lines from this episode we're about to play? Oh, by the way, guys, we're only playing about 15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, you're not hearing the whole episode. Yeah.
Yeah, and Paul whittled it down quite a bit. So we didn't just, like, chop the ends off of it.
Yeah.
Like our grandmothers used to do with the ham. He actually chopped up throughout, like got rid of some of the meandering jibber jabber.
Yeah.
And so this will be kind of like the prototype for how these things will kind of go.
Yeah. There's a little bit of a audio hiss going on through it. So you can also see how far we've come with that. So not to deter, because it's still it's listenable. It's just I noticed it when I was editing it. So.
Like that?
Yeah, about like that, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was actually pleasantly surprised with how good it sounded, to be honest with you.
4 years ago, though, think about that for a second. 4 years ago. That was a while.
None of us figured Trump would be president.
No.
That's about it, though. I don't think there's much else that's changed, really.
That says a lot, though.
Yeah. All right. Well, how much more ado do we want to have?
I think our ado is done.
All right. In that case, well, let's play this 15-minute bit, and we'll, you know, of course, we'll come back afterwards and have a little more jibber jabber.
Yeah.
Speaking of something for everybody and feel good family shit, just when I'm feeling a little bit down, my 7-year-old has a way of bringing me down even further. She said, "Dabby, I miss being little." I was like, "Oh, honey, you are little." She's like, "I mean, like preschool little." I was like, "Oh, me too."
Yeah,
me too.
Well, for one, you
time just keeps on marching.
For one, you were easier to carry. Well,
yeah.
Speaking of 7-year-olds, yesterday, when me and Aramis had our movie night the other night. And we watched Cats for the umpteenth time.
Not Cat People?
No. Surprisingly not.
Sorry.
Anyway,
I don't know the words,
but we were talking about something, and she asked me, like, why do people have to die?
Because they suck.
That's right.
That's why.
Well, I didn't want to tell the truth. But no, I was like, I really don't know why. So I said, why do you think? And she goes, she thinks for a second, shrugs her shoulders, and go, "I think it's just because they don't want to have to build more houses."
No, honey, that's if Trump is elected.
Well, you know.
Well, at least she didn't ask you what mine asked, which was, "Dad, why did that man have to die?" Honey, it was him or me.
That's right. He was an asshole, that's why.
Hey, The Onion just had a really uplifting article the Onion, which is a satirical paper.
That's right, which and mostly hits it on the head every time.
Hits it on the head. Hits the shit squaw on the head. The headline: "You to still die one day. Did you forget about that for a minute?" And then the whole article. I started reading it and I was laughing at first, and by the time I got to the end of it, I was like, damn, this is depressing.
you have those moments where it just like, it, you know, you take it for granted, and then it comes over, and you physically have to get up and leave the room. It's like, I got to leave this thought in here.
I need a drink.
That's right.
That's why God invented alcohol.
Goddamn right.
It is like life is a series of distracting ourselves from our own mortality.
You know, John Lennon had the quote about life is that thing that gets in the way of your plans. But I think I think you're onto something there. That's why when you're young, you bungee jump. Ain't no 47-year-old man gonna bungee jump.
Right. Biologists know this. Well, I believe it's the cerebral cortex or something, frontal, some part of the brain is not fully formed until age like 26.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And of course, since it's as the late great or the late not so great Bill Cosby. Is he dead yet, Bill Cosby?
No.
As he used to say, like kids are just brain damaged.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
But it's true. So it's that bit of brain damage. There's not a fully developed ability to comprehend or contemplate one's mortality. So there's all that risk.
Yeah.
Taking and shit like that, right?
How about we call Bill Cosby the formerly great Bill Cosby?
Oh, I like that. The formerly great Bill Cosby. Well, I don't know if he was ever great. It's just we just found out recently.
Well, exactly. So we,
like,
you know,
while we were listening to him and laughing, he was
busy doing the
7 minutes 33 seconds. Excellent.
it's not even a record, but it's awesome.
I know. Last week was like 5 minutes.
I know, we made like five and a half minutes.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's that. I think it's. I know it, when I was a kid, I didn't. When I was in my early 20s or late, you know, in my teens, I didn't contemplate that shit. So I don't know how much of it is we're getting closer to the inevitable and how much of it is our brains are just developed and it's a matter of maybe our brains are deteriorating now. Oh, I know what it is. Hey, I have a new theory. You ready?
Sure, let's hear it. hit the new theory theme song.
Okay, so kids, I keep saying kids, but let's call them people.
Mm-hmm.
For the sake of argument. They don't have a concept of their mortality in that they can't comprehend it, they can't contemplate it, they just don't have the ability to understand it or to even imagine it as a thing, right?
Right.
That's not all that healthy. It's somewhat healthy because it gets them taking risks and going out to try to, you know, butt fuck a caribou and bring it home for dinner. I'm imagining the Serengeti plane. Kid's dad is like, oh man, I've told you this before. I mean, it doesn't matter that you did. You really don't have to butt fuck the caribou before you bring it back.
You know, he's the father's, you know, he's bearing, you know, beaten down with his rifle, and the young guy's like, hang on a second, Dad. Oh, all right, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Sneak up on him or he'll run away.
That's why I don't eat the rump roast. So it's somewhat evolutionary. But on the other hand, they take risks and die, right? They get in a car drunk, and or they get on the back of a yak after having smoked a lot of peyote, and they crash the yak and, you know, kill a family of four. Then, at some point in your late 20s, 30s, you sort of get that healthy, well, shit, other people are responsible for me, other people care whether I live or die, and you sort of, the concept of the fact that you could die is in balance now. You're not overly scared of it, but you're also not reckless.
Right.
Now, you get into your late 40s, into your 50s, and suddenly, your pendulum has swung the other way. Mine swings a little bit to the left, sometimes to the right, depends on what's going on that month, but you suddenly, or at least I think I have an unhealthy obsession with mortality sometimes.
that's called life, man.
I think it's once the kids were born, something happened that I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
You know, life's moving, and someday I'm going to be bummed.
Right.
And then knowing that someday I'd be bummed got me bummed.
But not by the guy out hunting the caribou.
No. No, I was, except for that one Halloween when I dressed as a caribou.
That was your first mistake. You were trick-or-treating in the Serengeti.
To be fair, when I removed the mask and he realized I wasn't really a caribou, he did stop after once.
Now, if it had been Bill Cosby, it would have been a different story.
Yeah, right.
But you know what else, too? We're firmly mired in our late 40s, but yet periodically we do dumb things.
Usually while drunk.
I was alluding to that, yes. Like, for instance, getting really drunk. That'll do for a start. When you wake up the next day and you're like, you know, this didn't used to hurt. But, we do dumb things, and it's like kind of, at first I thought it was maybe we were just reminding ourselves subconsciously that we're not, you know, 20 years old, and that life is in fact finite. But I think really what it is, we're not reliving our past. We're like pre-living our future. Yeah, I know, right? You say things, ladies and gentlemen, this is the 70s rock lyric portion of the show where you say things contradictory and it sounds deep. But no, I think what happens is we're like, okay, as a species, up until about 100 years ago, motherfuckers didn't live this long.
True.
So, while we're keenly aware that every lub could be our last, we still periodically do stupid shit just to test that, just to see if it is.
So it's evolution's way of saying you're supposed to be dead already.
I think so. And evolution can't figure out why we're not dead.
How come something hasn't eaten me yet?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's pretty deep. We're not reliving our past. We're pre-living our future.
I think so.
I'm often reminded of that movie. I forget what movie it was, but it was one of those movies, like there were 45 of them when we were growing up, where a teacher goes into a bad neighborhood and, you know, he's going to make a difference kind of thing. And one of the kids, he discovered that one of the kids was a male stripper for women. Like, now you say male stripper and you think gay, right?
Yeah.
But no, he was a heterosexual male stripper. So teacher was talking to him about it, like, you can't do this, you're young, you couldn't. And he goes, you remember when you were my age and you used, I mean, he goes, how often do you sit around and think, I wish I'd known then what I know now? He goes, well, I do know. And I'm taking advantage of it.
Right? It also reminds me of on Barney Miller, the one time that the one hippie kid, you know, he was like all strung out, and one of the cops, you know, because they're at the time when we watched like Barney Miller, these guys were like old, but they were only like 40 years old. You know, except for Abe Vigoda, he was like 90. But
he's still 90.
He's like 190 now. But one of them asked this kid, he's like, you've got your whole life ahead of you. Why do you do drugs? And he just goes, because I got my whole life ahead of me. It's like,
I like that. The other thing I remember is Altered States, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know anything about drugs when I saw it, so I didn't know what kind of drug he was doing, but I think he was shooting heroin. Or something to keep himself awake, right?
Right.
So, dude's like, you know, that you're gonna, you know, that shit's gonna kill you. And he's like, yeah, but the way I figure it, I only have to sleep like 2 hours a night. That gives me an extra 6 hours a day. And by the time it kills me when I'm in my 50s, I will have lived X number of years more than you.
Speaking as someone who does sleep 2 hours a night, it doesn't add up.
It doesn't add up.
It doesn't add up. You just, it doesn't.
Quality versus quantity.
That's exactly what it is. When I was younger and I couldn't sleep, I didn't mind it because it was like, I might miss something. Now that I'm like, you know, I have to take drugs to fall asleep, I realize I ain't missing shit.
Speaking of those Minecraft videos that you were lamenting earlier,
mm-hmm.
on the Book of Faith. My daughter was doing something with it and I was like, you got to go to bed. You know, it's 8:30. It's time for bed. Daddy's got a radio show to cuss on.
That's right.
So I said, so she goes, oh man, she's like, you get to stay up as long as you want and do whatever you want. I said, you will too when you're a grown up. And I decided to lie to her in that way because I've tried the truth, and the truth just She couldn't comprehend the truth. Like most, like this, I cherish these nights that I do get to. I get to come downstairs and hang out with my bud,
that's
my
right.
brother from another, and I get to do what I want. But most nights, it's adult time, honey. And I don't mean adult like adult movies. I mean adult like chores.
Yeah, right? And, you know, I had one of those defining moments where I, like, where I realized I was the only adult in the room. You know, we had when my daughter had a sleepover for her birthday, and something happened, and there was like, you know, 9 14-year-old girls running screaming around the house, and I'm just like, all right, hang on, and I got about halfway through taking care of it, and I'm like, holy shit, I'm an adult. I'm the only one that knows what to do at this moment. It's like, it was like a reality check. I mean, there was a lot of zeros on that check. It was just like, wow, shit, I'm an adult. It's like, it was kind of terrifying, actually.
That is crazy. You're like, shit goes down, I'm the only one here knows what to do.
That's right. That's what my dad used to say. My dad used to say, you know, if all the adults disappeared off the face of the earth, you people wouldn't know what to do. I'm like, at the time it seemed deep, but now I'm like, well, no shit, that's why you're here.
You people wouldn't know what to do. It's like, it's like, it's not kids and adults, it's just like some random group of people. You right. people wouldn't know what to do.
Right?
Yeah, we would. We'd get ourselves a conch. We'd beat up the little fat kid.
Yeah, like we'd break his glasses.
Wouldn't let him have the conch.
Piggy, that was murder. You stop it. What good are you doing talking like that? It was dark. There was that bloody dance. There was thunder and lightning and rain. We were scared. It wasn't what you said. Oh, Piggy!
The artful, chilling story of castaways degenerating into savagery. Lord of the Flies.
Hey, you know, I learned something today. I never knew this. You know Beelzebub?
Not personally, but yeah.
Translated means Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
How did I never know that?
You never read Lord of the Flies.
Oh. I saw the movie.
Yeah, it's not in the movie. Any of them. There's two of them that I'm aware of.
Oh, well, they should have put it in the movie. It's proof positive that your dad was right, though.
Yeah.
If we all disappeared, people wouldn't know what to do. That's what you're here for. Maybe that's why I'm not afraid of death, because like I was 4 years ago, because my kids have grown to the point where I believe they would know what to do.
Yeah.
At this point.
That's a bonus.
I'm not saying they'd get it 100% right. They might burn a couple things down, but in a lot of ways, I feel like they could do better.
If they can cook and dress themselves, they got a fighting chance.
Well, I mean, look what a mess we've made of the world. Actually, you know what? We can't take full blame. Us Gen Xers, the boomers had a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we're actually going to do a Generation X episode. Obviously, you know, before we lose all of our faculties, we're going to go ahead and to me, here's how I sort of think of it. I think generations, whether it's the silent generation, the greatest generation, baby boomers, millennials, Generation Y, Generation Z. I feel like I'm leaving one out. But anyway, doesn't matter. Hang on. Silent generation, baby boomers, greatest generation, baby boomers, millennials, Generation Z. No, I think that's all of them, isn't it?
I think, you, like, yeah, we have forgotten none. I think we got
silent
this.
Generation, greatest generation, baby boomers, millennials. And Z. Yeah, no, that's it. There might be one after that, but yeah,
could be.
I got it for the most part. I got all. Anyway, that's all marketing stuff.
Yeah,
those are a
Industrial Revolution and Post-Industrial Revolution invention to allow marketers to be able to not have to put together personalized marketing. They can just like, oh, we only need five, right? Because there's five generations, so we just need five different flavors of Pepsi, you know, and put it out there. So if we're going to talk about Generation X, to me, we have to make it personal. Mm. And the way to make it personal, I feel, is through origin stories. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got them. I've got several. In fact, I just told one during my during our recording of The Life Science Effect. Hey, go check it out, thelifescienceeffect.com. I just told another origin story about how I got into medical devices. Mm-hmm. And I actually, I've thought of a couple of different possibilities for my Generation X origin story.
I can't
and,
wait.
And that's what'll make it personal. And I would encourage you to do the same. And I would encourage our listeners to send us some origin stories about when did you first realize that you were not like your parents? would be a good example. Mm-hmm. What were you doing? Don't describe it to me. I don't even give a shit. Like I don't need you to be expository about it. What I'm looking for is, where were you? What were you wearing? What were the smells like? What was the weather like? You know, what were the sights and sounds? That is interesting. Mm-hmm. Giving me some diatribe about, well, my parents never taught me about money, and then I had to find out the hard way, but eventually I figured it out. That's not a story. I want to know about a time when your bank account was at zero and you were wondering, where the hell did all the money go?
We're looking for that Morgan Freeman narration from Shawshank. Where it's like, and it was at that time that they realized. That's what we're looking for, that moment in time.
That's right. And so shoot it over to us. That'll give us inspiration to tell our own origin stories. You know where to go. Hashtag put it on the page. In the meantime, we got a couple of other things in the works. One is the major Christmas episode that's coming up not too long from now, just Christmas 2019. I feel like we sort of skip. We finish one Christmas, we go right to the next Christmas.
That's right.
I mean, what happened to Thanksgiving?
What's wrong with the kiss, boy?
Yeah, we made a little progress. Paul wrote a version. I wrote a version. We kind of took some of the best from each of them. We're going to do sort of a dry read sometime in the next week or so. We'll probably record it.
If it's good, it might make it on the show. You know,
maybe it'll be a deep cut.
Yeah, right. That's right. A little behind the scenes.
So thanks for listening to that. I appreciate it. Any parting words of wisdom?
No.
Well, in that case, for Paul's dad, for our kids who will never let us forget that we're going to be dead someday. And for Beelzebub, I'm Steve Vinson. That's Paul Schultz. And nothing you just heard, just heard, just heard was true. Was true. Was true.
That's what we keep inside our minds. That's what we keep inside our minds. Sometimes, Mouse, you think you know people, and then you don't. Then you wonder, have I met them before? But it doesn't matter. You're just information. That's what we keep inside our heads.